from, where are we today? We're not at Comicpalooza. We're not at the other place. Where are we? Oh, we're at Houston Wrestling Radio headquarters.
Yes.
Wow. We're back. Back in the saddle. Back in HQ.
Get on to your thing, because I don't see shit right now.
You don't? Randy just said she saw something.
Yeah, Randy's smarter than I am.
That's true. So, all right. It's the 287th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. I am Abel.
I am Arnold.
And I'm checking to see whether or not we're actually live.
I get shit. I get shitty signal here.
Yes. Well, I get shitty signal too. And I'm off of the Wi-Fi. So, I don't know.
We're live, pal.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, Randy said we were live.
I'm making a joke. I don't know if we're live or not.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, if we're live, we're live. If we're not, we're not.
There you go. We're live.
We are? Yay. If you are watching us live, tune into your Google YouTube account, and then you could chat with us through the live chat feature here on YouTube, and I'll try to see it as best as I can here in the show. And if you want to just say hi or ask questions, that's cool. You could also talk smack or fact check us, whatever. I'll try to see it. I'll try to involve you the best I can in the show. If you're not watching us live, that's okay. You can catch us, you can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio, or on the Instagram, Houston Wrestling Radio. So, man. Okay. It's a rough, choppy start to today's episode.
Yep. Very kind of tight. Let's get into talking about wrestling then.
All right.
We didn't do a pre-show thing, as we're nothing without Chris. So I'm going to have to go get on a website again to see what that happened.
Okay, cool.
While I do that, how did Comicpalooza go?
Comicpalooza was pretty cool. We wound up going to the thing, having a live episode on the show floor of Comicpalooza. And it was interesting. Having people walking around, live people talking to you while you're trying to do the show, that was a nice change of pace, I guess you could say. It was cool seeing Robert Medlin actually
in the flesh.
In the flesh.
He was meddling
in our episode. He was talking to us as we were doing it. That was cool. Also, a couple of randos sat and listened to the whole show. That was awesome. We had several passersby come, sit, go, that kind of thing. So it was fun. We decided that we did not want to just have a regular old episode where we're just talking about what happened during the week, because that's what Wednesdays are for. So Porsche and I and Randy, we all kind of like did a little brainstorm session the night before, and we just came up with, well, let's just kind of talk about, you know, what's good with wrestling. And we kind of came up with a little bit of a list, and that episode is available on our iTunes and Podbean and Stitcher, so you could go back and listen to it. And I will try at some point to turn that into a YouTube video. No promises, because, you know, busy and stuff and whatnot. I'll try to get it to you as fast as I can. So that's that. Yeah, it was fun. It was cool. Michael Network, what's up, man?
What up?
Nice to see you back in the live chat. Thank you so much. Let's see. Pusha T versus Drake. I don't care. I don't know.
Pusha T just fucking wrecked him. Drake cannot come back from that.
I've never even heard of this dude.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. But RIP Drake.
All right. Fans complain, but they still watch.
Yep.
All right. He's kind of already jumping on into it. Are you still looking for something to talk about, or should we start?
I got a Raw popped up here.
Okay, set. Michael, we'll get to that. We will get to that soon.
Wait, what?
He had a little thing here saying he wants us to talk about Cedric Alexander and Buddy Murphy.
We will get to that.
We will get to that soon.
But, all right, so.
That was a little exclamation point there, man.
So we kick off Raw with fucking Strowman.
Strowman.
Fucking comes out. Together. Talking about he's a monster in the bank. Kind of weird. Didn't really sit well. But he's like all about it.
Did it sit well with you?
Nah, it just sounds stupid.
Okay.
It sounds real like gimmicky. But that's what he is.
He's gimmicky? New pops.
Well, not gimmicky, but he's cartoon character-y.
Okay.
He comes out. And he's like, yeah, I'm about to win everything. Everybody's going to get these hands.
Mm-hmm.
And then out comes the extraordinary man who can do extraordinary things but not beat Braun Strowman 2 weeks in a row or 1 week in a row. He came out and he's like, what up, bitch? And then slapped him. And that was the start of something. You know, we got a little match going on. Dude, Finn is good against fucking Braun, man.
Yeah.
They have that David Goliath thing, but then
right.
But then they have that thing where it's not that big of an issue, the size. His speed counters it, and then dude, it works well because Braun is also fast. He's not Snitsky, he's not Kane, yeah. Big Show. He's fucking Braun.
Yeah.
So a lot of the shit was working for me. I thought it was a pretty solid ass match.
Cool.
The coup de grace that he hit, I thought it was gonna be over, and then it wasn't. Coup de grace, the S apparently is pronounced.
It is?
Yeah. Corey went off on somebody on Twitter today because somebody was like, "Oh, you can't." He's like, "Learn French, Google it, and you'll see you're wrong." I was like, "Okay." So I'm gonna start calling it the coup de grace because Corey's never wrong.
Right. Because Corey Graves. Yes. I like Braun. I like Finn. I like the matches that they've done.
Kevin Owens was fucking a delight in this match, dude.
that was true. Well, I wanted to say this about it before that it was I didn't care. Even though I like Braun and Finn, I didn't particularly care about this feud. I mean, I know it's leading into their Money in the Bank matchup, which is cool, but I don't know. It failed to capture my attention in the story sense of it. I kind of feel like they're just kind of throwing it together just because they're thrown together in the Money in the Bank match. That's all I'll say about that because we're trying to be a little bit more POP here, positivity.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, Kevin Owens.
Yeah, Kevin, he kept jumping in at different points of the match to shit-talk Braun and to shit-talk Finn. He was just being Kevin Owens, healing it up. And it was really cool to see. He's always badass on commentary. He got involved. That's why the matches ended in a DQ. Mm-hmm. So just setting up more Money in the Bank stuff for the Raw side.
Right.
I guess another setup is hopefully we're going to get a match for the Intercontinental title with Seth Rollins and Elias, which is a good program I want to see because everything that Elias has done in the ring so far has been good to me. Mm-hmm. And Seth Rollins, he's still on fire. Even Jinder couldn't fucking put out his fire.
No. And man, I want to see these two wrestle, and I eventually want to see Elias get that prominence, but I don't want it at the expense of Finn. So I'm really torn. Or Finn, Seth.
Seth, yeah.
I'm really torn here.
Yeah, because I think it's still too early to calm this fire down of Seth with some losses.
But I think Elias needs it. I mean, not necessarily he needs a title, but he needs a prominent win.
Yeah.
Because right now, the character is built and the character is getting over. Whether or not you want to debate if he's a face or a heel, he's definitely a heel, but he has face reactions. That's on the people because he's just so good at
it. It's the same problem we're having with Rusev.
Yeah. I didn't even say right now he's in the spot where Bray Wyatt was when he was in NXT and first coming out to the main roster.
Yeah.
Because he is fucking white hot as a gimmick, as a character. But he has yet to have that feud where he wins and it continues on. Because, I mean, it's more than just, just character, and it's more than just wins and losses. You got to kind of have the two together, because sometimes WWE makes these great freaking characters, and then they just have them lose because, they're over on their character. They don't need any wins. And then you stop caring about them, like Bray. But then you have other people that don't have any character who are, decent enough in the ring, or at least WWE thinks that they are. And then you get people like, Roman.
Yeah.
In the live chat, Michael says Roman Reigns is the Drake of the WWE.
About the match with Mahal, it wasn't a bad match. It wasn't a great match.
It was a match.
But it was a match. It was the match. It was kind of different ending than I expected. Jinder Mahal hit Seth with the chair, or was going to hit Seth with the chair.
Yeah.
And then Seth got it and actually hit him with the chair, and he got disqualified. Mm-hmm. So Jinder has a victory over the Intercontinental champion.
Which, okay. Yeah.
That didn't further the storyline with Roman, who took the day off for as much shit he talks to Brock Lesnar while taking days off.
Yeah, where the hell was Roman?
Hanging out Memorial Day. Apparently, pissing off a fan who wanted an autograph in the middle of dinner. He was feeding.
Really?
He was feeding his kid. Monday? I think it was over the weekend.
Okay.
But the fan went on Twitter and saying, "Oh man, he called me like a piece of shit and this and that.
Damn, for real?
Yeah, and Roman was like, no. All I did was say, no, I'm feeding my, you know, my kid, and that's it.
Hmm.
And that was it. The newborn kid at that.
Oh, so,
yeah. Don't be a dick. If you're at a restaurant and you see fucking CM Punk, anybody, don't be that guy. Let him eat.
Unless they're like grocery shopping or something.
Yeah, like I ran into Lamar Miller, my close personal friend now, Lamar Miller for the Texans. We were both grocery shopping. He was pushing his cart. He went one way. I went the other. I was like, hey, man, I just want to say what's up. You know, he's like, oh, cool. That's it. He wasn't fucking literally sitting down at a dinner table feeding his kid.
You missed the best part of the story.
I told him I love them. I don't know. I don't really meet famous people too often. I don't lose. I hate meet and greets. I'm not a big paid somebody to meet them guy. I'm like, no, I don't think anybody's better than me in this world. And I don't think I'm better than anybody else. So I don't do meet and greets.
Yeah.
But this dude was like, hey, I just had to tell you, I love you, man. I love you. And I was like, fuck. Yeah, my wife still doesn't let me live it down.
Sure. I didn't let you live it down. Sure, you tried to blow right past that. Yeah, and I was like, hell no.
His girlfriend didn't appreciate that either that he was with. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're kind of on a tangent here. But where were we?
Roman Reigns taking the night off.
Oh, that's right.
I guess it was a personal.
All right.
Yeah.
So did Brock.
Yeah. He's taking a couple personal days.
Yes. Several personal. He's taking a personal month.
Yeah. So Nia Jax, total beast heel, apparently, again.
Oh,
what the
man.
Fuck, man? Like, you just had her do the fucking be a star, body shaming isn't cool, which it isn't. And then we're going to have fucking, I'm going to be a dick now to Ronda Rousey for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
She's been nothing but nice to me, but I'm going to be a dick to her.
Mm-hmm.
Just taunting, you know, a jobber. And then, I just think it was a whole, I think it was a whack ass. I don't think the segment would have been whack if not for the quick heel face change.
Exactly.
I think if she had remained a heel and won the belt, and this is a logical thing for the heel big person to do.
Mm-hmm.
Show them up.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's exactly what's not happening here, man. Nia Jax has struggled to be a character. Whether that's her fault or creative's fault, I don't know.
Yeah.
But they seem to, with this win and with this feud with Alexa that got her to the championship belt, they seem to have fleshed out a little bit more of her character, which was, you know, she's big and she could be intimidating and really strong in the ring, but she has a heart and she's insecure about stuff. And she's just like any other person out there, which is cool. Makes it really relatable.
Yeah.
And then she, you know, cut that promo about not bullying and this and that and overcoming. Mm-hmm. And then the next couple of weeks, we had these terrible video packages by Alexa where she's mocking her by calling her the bully.
Yeah.
And remember on the show, I said, I don't like this because it could confuse people as to who's actually the heel or the face if you're not immediately calling out Alexa on that. Like, hey, you're lying. Nia isn't bullying anyone.
Yeah.
But now she is. So what happened with that? Was Alexa actually telling the truth? Uh-huh. Well, if she was, is this going to lead to Alexa coming out and
being
I told you.
Yeah.
You know, and then
I mean that's the only saving grace out of this because that's the only thing that would make sense because right now I think it's just dumb. It's another heel, Big Show heel turn.
Yeah, it's a Big Show flip flop.
Yeah,
that sucks.
Yeah,
man.
It really does.
Yeah, I still have high hopes for Nia.
Yeah,
I really
she's still
like
good
her.
In the ring. She's still like fine to me. This is the thing that you're gonna encounter with having Ronda Rousey in the women's division.
Mm-hmm.
You can't elevate her without knocking another person down.
True.
But you're doing that to your champion, which isn't smart. You could have had her feud with somebody else, another heel mm-hmm. on the roster. But no, you had her straight go for fucking, I don't know. I don't think it was a smart move.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, what else?
With another match for Money in the Bank. After an apology for a terrible segment from the week before, Sami Zayn. He was fucking like, yo, my bad. That was on me. You know, it was dumb.
Man, you're
but then, like, halfway through his apology, he's like, yeah, but that guy's still a dick. He like, doubled down on the fact that Lashley's a dick. And
dude.
And then, to his point, Lashley came down and basically acted like a dick. He shook his hand, but like crushed it. Yeah. And like he was like, what are you gonna do? And like, I think it's a terrible build and a match that I kind of want to see, but I'm kind of, you know. Last year, I think they're dropping the ball with him and Sami Zayn. Not definitely, they're dropping the ball again with him.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, when it comes down to just the match, if this was, you know, before Lashley's debut,
yeah.
If you told me, you know, 6 months ago, hey, Lashley and Sami Zayn are going to have a feud following WrestleMania,
yeah.
I'll be like, okay, I'm down. Yeah, yeah, I can see that. That will probably be some couple of badass matches. But again, professional wrestling isn't just matches. It's about story. And the story here absolutely sucks.
That's stupid.
It kind of feels, or that segment kind of felt like WWE got their wrist slapped by somebody, some other maybe TV person or a sponsor or something saying, hey, that wasn't a good segment. Have your guy go out there and rescind it, kayfabe-wise. Yeah. So he went out there and rescinded it, yeah. But Vince was also like, oh, we still got to keep the heat on Sammy and you know, and Bobby. So, you know, apologize for that and then still be a heel afterwards. And then Bobby, go out there and intimidate him and quit doing the
smiley face. It could have just been all part of the plan. I mean, they never apologized for the worst segment of Raw of all time, the Bayley, This Is Your Life. Whatever, apologize for. We all accepted it as suck and we moved on.
Yeah. But see, that segment was just bad because it was a bad idea and a bad story. This was like offensive to people.
Right, here we go with that again. I don't know. It wasn't Roseanne level, so I'll be
honest. Well, it wasn't Roseanne level.
I didn't find anything offensive. They just got a bunch of guys to play, you know, sisters. I mean,
okay.
That's like saying Santino was offensive.
Well,
so, really?
There could have been people. There could have been people said that. Yeah.
Whatever. So one of my favorite segments was the motherfucking cook-off. It's Memorial Day. You got to have a cook-off, man.
Yes.
So the B team had everybody in there. Rhino just fucking eating away.
Rhino was the star of that.
Everyone with their bad lines and their Titus saying that like, the food was unseasoned. You know why he said that.
Yes.
And if he was Roseanne, he'd be fired for saying that. Double standards, baby. You got to love America.
God damn it.
So... Yeah, it was a dumb segment basically to set up a tag team battle royal next week to see the number one contenders are. Mm-hmm. Before that, Kurt Angle met up with the B team and they were like talking about you know, giving them this and that. And Curtis Axel kept doing like a sidebar of like, yeah, these guys are fucking idiot. Like he was talking shit to Kurt Angle as if he wasn't there.
But he was
like,
there.
Kurt Angle's like, I'm right here. Like, yeah. Dude, I want
it's
more.
Kind of like
the
how
B-team.
We are at
yes.
work with our bosses.
Yes. I want more of the B team, dude. I love them. I really love them.
I really do too. I hope that this is going to be something where they actually get a shot to be more than just jobbers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hope so too. Who's because the leaders of Worlds, they had a match and it's just like, I think, dude, the tag team division in general right now is kind of weak. They fought somebody and beat them.
Who was it?
I will tell you right now because I can't even remember off the top of my head. It wasn't good. I didn't even pay attention. Oh, the Ascension. Not my friend, the actual Ascension.
Yeah.
It wasn't good. We also had Drew McIntyre to squash fucking Chad Gable for no reason.
Right.
So, yeah.
I'm afraid for Chad Gable that they're going to continue to squash him until Jason Jordan comes back.
Yeah.
And they give him like a 2-week push and they're like, oh. Yeah, and then they start squashing both of them again.
Or they team back up as American Alpha, or like
yeah. Well, that's what I meant for the 2 weeks.
Too?
Yeah, yeah. You know,
I don't know. We'll see about that. I think they have another chance to have the Charlie Haas and
Shawn Benjamin, the world's greatest tag team.
I think they have a badass chance to have a redux because Kurt Angle's general manager.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah, we'll see. After a series of terribly bad women's promos, which set the women's revolution back a couple of years. Jesus Christ, those promos were terrible. They were fucking not good at all. And it was not their fault.
You're talking about the little shaky
selfie
cams.
The shaky
selfie
cams, the stupid Riot Squad ripping up the shirts in the back.
Yeah.
Like, it was dumb. It was child's play, dude. It was crap. It was crap writing and crap execution.
Yeah.
Well, no, the execution was fine, but it was just crap writing. It wasn't their fault, but whatever. They set them, they main evented fucking Raw, so fuck it.
They did. They made it Raw.
I happen to love parts of this match a lot.
I did too.
off the bat, Liv just gets annihilated by Bayley.
Yes.
Then Sarah Logan gets beat by Bayley just easy. Mm-hmm. Then they beat the shit out of Bayley. Mm-hmm. You're thinking, oh, cool, they're going to fucking live. No, commercial comes back. Ding, ding, everyone's fresh. Like, okay, let's start the match.
Yeah.
And, dude, Ruby Riott, man, yeah. Her and Bayley put on a really good match again.
What was it that you said about Ruby Riott a few weeks ago?
I forgot.
You said she's the truth.
Ruby Riott is the truth. I'll get to more of that. So yeah, she beats Bayley, and everyone was kind of like, oh, bummed out a bit. I think she's starting to get a little more traction. Her showing another side of her character, even if it's just a glimpse of it, is keeping Bayley the character entertaining.
Oh, she looked menacing as fuck.
Yeah, right. And okay, I'm glad it wasn't just me because I have a Bayley bias because I like Bayley.
Yeah.
But she looked more aggressive in the ring.
I wouldn't have described Ruby Riott.
Yeah.
Easy for me to say.
Right.
As menacing before in her NXT run and all that. I liked her, but I wouldn't say she was menacing. I would say, oh, she's talented and skilled and is a good wrestler.
Yeah.
But in this, you know, last couple of weeks, holy fuck, she looks like she's a badass.
Yeah, she's like female Seth Rollins as far as I'm concerned right now. As far as in the ring, fucking fire. She held her own with Bayley. She beat Bayley. Everyone's kind of bummed out. Whatever. Mickey James comes in, roar the crowd because she's from Richmond. Everyone, she loves it. She looked good, damn good too.
Mm-hmm.
She did her thing. She beats Mickey James. No questions asked.
That was a good showing by Mickey.
And if we could break in segments, dude, Tasha and Riott had one of my favorite matches of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they fucking went at. They had a little segment where like Sasha bounced around the ropes and she caught her back up and bam, like fucking slammed her. Dude, it was really good. Ruby Riott, like I said, dude, she's the truth right now.
That was my front runner for match of the week for basically everything else that I watched up until, you know, a little bit later.
Yeah,
we'll get to that. But you know what? I mean, the title of this episode is Unbreakable because the women's division be strong as hell.
Uh-huh.
Partly because Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt season 2 released today.
Yes,
and the other part
– 4.
4, sorry. Released today. And partly because – man, that was a really good match, and they did really well. And aside from the promos at the beginning, which we already complained about, that match was fucking
wrestling-wise, it was good.
Yeah.
Wrestling-wise, it was a solid-ass fucking match. And Sasha Banks won, which is
I don't want to complain about Sasha winning.
I don't
Sasha
hate
winning.
It, but I instantly thought, I think I know what's going to happen. And this is a 3-year story.
Okay.
A 3-year wish.
Okay.
We get the fucking women's Money in the Bank match. Everyone's going their thing. Everyone has their turn of being strong. You got Sasha fucking saying fuck me, going up in the rungs. Everyone's on the floor. Bayley. Bam. Chair shot, something. Fucking just total fucking swerve. And they have, which is, we have one pay-per-view before that. We can set it up. They have another classic at SummerSlam.
Ah.
That'd be fucking sick.
That'd be cool.
That'd be sick. Because they can still fucking rock it together.
Yeah.
So that'd be awesome to see.
So Bayley neutralizes Sasha for in the Women's Money in the Bank match.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's just me, you know, wishing that happens because I've been wanting that forever.
Yeah.
And having Bayley be the one that turns heel, not Sasha, that I really want that.
That would be interesting. Mm-hmm. I would be skeptical as to whether or not the Bayley character can stay intact as a heel. But then again, I kind of also want to watch the world burn on this and see Bayley become something completely not fucking Lisa Frank Glitter Bayley.
Yeah.
You know, like something completely different. But I'm not sure how that's going to turn out. And that's part of what makes it intriguing to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
So that's it for Raw?
That's it for Raw?
Yeah, Raw sped by, actually, I think. So I think the next thing we knew was over. It was kind of cool. It's what I like about shit like that. It was not like the typical Raws were kind of dragged out a bit.
Yeah.
So between Monday and Tuesday, I was like, okay, yeah, you know, whatever. Oh, I can't. And I told my wife, right, like half an hour before it started, because I was off again. I had a 3-day weekend. I was off again yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I cannot wait for this main event tonight. Fucking The Rockets got eliminated from the playoffs on Monday night.
RIP.
one of the first things I said was, God damn, I can't wait to watch Daniel Bryan and Samoa Joe tomorrow night to make me feel better. Dude, I was looking for this match. I was looking forward to it all day.
Yeah.
All day. We get to SmackDown. Joe comes out. I'm like, here we go. We're going to start with a fucking five-star match. Let's do it. Bring it to me. And then he fucking just delivers a fucking flamethrower of a goddamn promo.
Yes, he did.
You think he can't get any better? He just goes and gets better.
Yeah.
He's so fucking good.
I think Joe was and is starting to not now be underrated as a promo.
Now he's being properly rated.
Yeah. I think for the longest time, people slept on Joe's promo skills. But I think people are starting to come around, and I'm cool with it.
I get damn near goosebumps when he gets on the microphone. Anytime he comes on, I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. And he went there. He went there with D-Bry, brought up Bree, brought up Birdie. D-Bry comes out like, hold on, wait a minute, player. Hey, I'm going to fuck you up.
Robert Medlin, what's up, man? Nice to see you in the live chat. Like I said, good to see you at Comic Palooza.
Thanks for Medlin.
he says this. Kind of going back a little bit because it's on delay. Yeah. A Bayley heel turn could be the closest thing this generation gets to be a Hogan heel turn.
Hollywood Bayley.
Hollywood Bayley.
She's going to come out to Jimi Hendrix.
And Michael says, yeah, Bayley can turn heel and have a biker girl gimmick. Keep rolling, rolling.
Oh,
rolling,
yeah. Rolling. But, yeah.
God damn. All right. So, yeah, anyway, Joe.
Yeah, Joe calls out D-Bry. D-Bry is like, hey, fuck you, man. Well, fuck you up, asshole.
Yeah.
You cross the line. And here comes Big Ass. Fucking Big Ass coming out and just saying, hey, nah, you guys aren't going to have a match because I'm cleared now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be part of the match. And then fucking like,
I love.
He fucking swung at D-Bry. D-Bry's like, you moved out the way and boom, he got fucking Joe. That was such a like TV show thing to see.
Yeah.
It was Joe was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I know you said that you looked forward to the matchup with Joe and D-Bry. Yeah. And I kind of get a feeling that there's a but in there. And that but being, but it turned into a three-way with Cass. For me, I don't know if I'm assuming or being too presumptuous. But for me, I kind of like the fact that we had a three-way and Big Cass was inserted in there.
It tied up loose ends because he was supposed to be Big Cass versus Joe and D-Bry had already lost his match. He was already on his second fucking chance. So that's why I was like, I get it. It's just, man, it's like your mom promising you a fucking PlayStation and fucking on Christmas, and you go open it to the fucking Okama GameSphere. You're like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of bullshit, man. I wanted a goddamn PlayStation.
Okama GameSphere.
Yeah. So yeah, that's set up for the main event later on, which I was still like, fuck it, I don't care. I'm still gonna. I'll ignore Big Cass and I'll see them two wrestle.
Yeah,
it's like if you're in a devil's threesome, you just don't look at the other guy.
Just don't look at the other guy. Have your fun. Don't make eye contact.
Don't make eye contact and do not eat a hot dog in the middle of it. Just don't. Trust me. So we get to Shinsuke Nakamura doing his counting in English now.
English.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10. 10. Then he rips up the number 10. I'm like, that's cool. He should fight Ty Dillinger. And next, he's going to fight Ty. I was like, oh, there you go.
There you go. That was actually announced earlier in the day.
Yeah,
but, on Twitter. But still,
I was too busy getting hyped up for Samoa Joe versus
D-Bry. Oh, yeah. You were too busy on Rocket's Twitter.
Yes.
Everybody drowning in their sorrows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Ty Dillinger actually had a pretty darn good showing.
Yeah, he did.
I thought he was going to be just fodder, you know, TV program for Shinsuke. And, you know, booking-wise, essentially,
He was a program.
But
this is the second
match was solid.
This is the second time that I can think of that where Ty Dillinger's getting a little rub, man. He's like, okay, it's not your time right now, baby, but it's homie.
Yeah.
Just stay patient with me.
You know, sometimes IWC wrestling fans, they forget that there's a need for good little hands. You know, people that are going to be really good wrestlers, still babyface for their fan favorites, but they need to go out there and lose. Mm-hmm. And I say I'm a little bit guilty with that too when it comes to Ty, because every time Ty goes out there and lose, I'm like, fuck, man, when are they going to push Ty? I really want them to push Ty. Mm-hmm. Oh, this and that. And I understand that, like, I got to be mature myself and say he probably never will be. He'll probably just be the guy that's a good little hand.
Yeah.
You know, and it sucks.
Well, dude, for years.
I'm going to enjoy what he has.
For years before, like, 08, 09, that was CM Punk.
Yeah.
Remember that shit? Yeah. It was like, oh, man, we really like this guy, but why aren't they fucking using him right? And we saw they used him right. Or he used himself. He made himself.
Wait, what?
So, yeah, the match was tight. Shinsuke won with a brutal fucking Kinshasa. Then he did another because he's a heel now.
Kinshasa to the back of the head.
Kinshasa to the back of the head.
Ugh.
And, oh, man, it was fucking, okay. It was raw, man. It was brutal as fuck.
Raw dog.
Yes.
Match of the candidate?
Sure. Match of the Peter Potter for my actual one. So, we got a very weird segment that I couldn't decide what I thought about until I rewatched it.
Okay.
We got a dance off, pal. We got a old school dance off. Santino versus that Russian guy. Was Vladimir Kozlov. Big Great Khali versus Santino. Mm-hmm. It was that kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
But I didn't hate it.
Yes.
It's like, it was silly, and I see a comment already. Oh, you said I jokingly said it earlier. Oh, you just set the women's revolution back so much, so many years. You're having them booty dance and this and that. I'm like, dude, that was fun. Yeah. Sometimes you're allowed to just have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, man. We got the WWE champion calling his people Cammy. You know what I mean? Like, you can have fun.
Yeah.
You can do a lot of things. And I didn't think this hurt any one of them.
No.
It showed Lana's personality more. She's not just like, hey, arm candy anymore. Rusev was fucking live streaming the goddamn thing. So he was seeing the show just by watching Lana dance, by going, oh, every time she did anything. Naomi just fucking, damn. So. Like, I'm not here about.
I get it.
I'm like, Naomi was just like, damn, fucking dancing. And it was a fucking damn good fucking, they were both dancing good.
I 1,000% agree with you.
Yeah.
It's funny that you saw on Twitter the comment, oh, it's going to set the women's revolution back. I can't remember if it was Randy or Porsche. It was one of the two ladies that I live with said exactly that right before the commercial break. Because next is so-and-so, and then the commercial break. Like, oh, well, that's going to fucking.
I thought it was going to suck.
I thought it was going to suck. Like, just in general,
yeah.
You know, like the, like any other cheesy wrestling, you know, segment. But I thought it was good, despite the fact that we already had low standards for it and low expectations. And I kind of have an interesting take on it, okay? So hear me out on this. I think that it did not set back the women's revolution 20 years because it wasn't about the titties and the ass, and it wasn't only women out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds weird. It was less misogynistic because the dudes were there.
Yeah.
And that sounds really fucking weird because
they were, no, I liked it because they were treated as equals.
Exactly. That's kind of how I felt. And that they were on there cheering their respective ladies on.
Yeah.
And this wasn't back in the 90s, old puppies, and they're going to go out there in fucking bikinis.
Yeah, Jerry Lawler wasn't officiating this.
Yeah, like, this was a actual dance-off between two ladies who are really fucking good at dancing anyway, and they weren't fucking strip-teasing or whatever. Yeah, sure, Naomi went out there and did a little bit of the twerk and booty jiggle.
Work what your mom gave you.
Yeah, but, I mean, she was good at it.
Fuck yeah.
And it led to a brawl between all of them.
That neckbreaker was sweet.
Yeah, men and women together.
That Lana's neckbreaker was sweet.
Yeah.
It was a reverse RKO, basically.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It was solid.
Oh, when they started doing the kid and play thing, I fucking lost it. I started laughing my ass off.
So, hopefully next week a fucking 6-way tag or whatever?
Yeah, I guess so. Robert Medlin, at least it wasn't bra and panties. I was afraid.
I wouldn't have complained about that either.
That way, I was afraid the Rusev Marks were going to boo Naomi.
But
they didn't.
They're respectful. Rusev Marks are very respectful for the most part.
Yes.
Except when they send Rusev Day on a Raw.
Happy Rusev Day
to everyone and to you.
Yes.
So, what was before, again, another match. This was my match of the week pick for a while. The Bar versus The New Day and Miz. The Bar and Miz versus The New Day. First, we had a fucking Mr. Bootyworth. Mr. Bootyworth fucking with the syrup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we had the, oh, God, I love it so much. They were training how to catch pancakes blindfolded.
And he was
doing it. He got a few of them.
I
was like, fuck yeah, dude. Oh, that was so
good. He hit more pancakes than James Harden hit three-pointers.
Yes. The Rockets in general hit three-pointers. Jesus Christ. 0 for 27 in a row.
We hate
shoot
on,
a two. Shoot a two.
We hate on them because it's our coping mechanism. Yes. Yes.
LeBron James next year. Dude, this match, everyone had a shining fucking moment.
I want to see LeBron in
Houston. I want it so bad.
I don't.
I'm the biggest LeBron fan you'll ever meet. I love it because why don't I have to
cheer LeBron.
White conservatives hate LeBron, and we work with a white conservative in
him. Why do white conservatives hate LeBron?
Because he doesn't like Trump.
Well, everybody doesn't like Trump.
But yeah, like physically, like, he straight up said it. So, like, yeah, they got all, you know, the snowflake stuff.
Well, I mean,
flaky.
He just seems kind of...
The best basketball player.
Well, he's the best basketball player, but he's also kind of douchey.
CM Punk is a delight, and we love him.
Well, that's part of the reason why I fell out of love with CM Punk.
Okay.
Sorry.
Don't meet your heroes, kids.
No, some heroes you can meet.
Yeah.
Like me.
So anyway, everyone in this match shined at one point another. The Miz and The Bar versus The New Day. Boy, the crowd was loving it. They were hot. They were hot. The star of this whole match was Xavier Woods. When he got his little chance, that dude was on fire.
Yeah.
He reminded me of Cesaro 3 years ago whenever I was like, holy fuck, this Cesaro guy is really good.
Yeah.
Whenever he got a little chance to shine, man, dude, he was on fucking bam, bam. All the moves that he was in, the move set that he had was like, oh yeah, I forgot Xavier was actually pretty damn good in the ring. He's not just you know for entertainment purposes.
Well, the reason why you forgot is because you were never told.
True.
Because for the longest time, it was Kofi and Big E with Xavier on the outside blowing on the trombone.
Dude, after the 5,100 day reign that they had, the next time after all that shit, 2 years later. I think last year when they won the tag team titles again, it was the first time that Xavier actually won a title.
Yeah.
This whole time it was Kofi and Big E.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Like they haven't really started giving Xavier a chance in the ring.
Yeah.
Since recently. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Until recently.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, because I don't think it's because, oh, he's green and he needed to train, because that wasn't it. He looked like he was good and polished when he was fucking in TNA as Consequences Creed, and then, you know, in NXT for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he got
caught
up. He
came out with this stupid thing with Brodus Clay and all that shit. Back. But with the whole New Day, his thing was that he was a really good mouthpiece for both of them. Kofi was always okay. He wasn't bad on the mic. And Big E was green as fuck.
Yeah.
So he was their mouthpiece, and he was the star of the New Day.
I mean, he's a great mouthpiece.
Fuck yeah. But we didn't, this whole time, the WWE Universe didn't know that he was that good in the ring.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I hate to bring this up, but ever since the happening last year, just want to come in. So, well, anyway, I'm glad that came out the other way as far as.
Oh, I'm sure you were. Oh, I'm sure.
I'm glad that they both came out on top.
Oh, God damn it.
So, anyway.
Can't fucking take you nowhere.
The New Day wins because the New Day rocks.
Yes.
But Big E shined too. Mm-hmm. Big E is fucking dude. He's really good. He's really good. I hope part of me is like, I'm hoping they push him. I'm hoping that he gets in the Money in the Bank. He doesn't win, of course, but I hope he gets it. Fucking looks really, really damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Weird kind of promo with Gallows and Anderson and Dasha. Was it Dasha? Yeah. I think
Renee. One of the clones.
Yeah,
it wasn't Renee. It was one of the clones.
So it's probably Dasha. Yeah, he Carl Anderson started showing off his abs for no reason.
Yeah.
And then
we're talking about his hot Asian wife.
Yeah, and then they're about to call them nerds. And then I thought, I was like, oh, I forgot about Saturday. Saturday's coming out. They were, no.
No?
The fucking Legend Brothers.
Yeah.
So that's who they're going to fight at
Winter's Bank. The Hammer Turtles.
Yeah. Is Saturday ever coming out? Is Authors of Pain ever coming back?
I saw.
What happened with that?
I saw news with the Z sites saying that they're not. That WWE called them up. And then for both of them, they're like, yeah, we don't have anything for these guys. Eh, oh, well.
Are they going back?
I don't know. Ooh. Again, this was news with a Z, so I don't know if it was fake news or whatever, but Oy. I saw that hey, don't expect to see them anytime soon, and this was before Raw and SmackDown, and sure enough,
I didn't see any of that stuff, but yeah, now it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, that sucks. I want to see both of these teams. I want to see them both thrive.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to use them on the main roster, fuck, put them back on NXT.
Yeah.
NXT can use them. They'll know what to do with
definitely.
Them.
They definitely do. We'll get to NXT. This week's NXT next. We'll get to it NXT. I just have to say, add a little side note, that I'm still loving Carmella as a champion.
Yeah,
dude, she is so fucking great on commentary. Her and Graves and even Saxton. She makes Saxton relevant.
Yeah,
with her commentary, and it was good. Dude, she had Corey speechless. And no one gets Corey speechless.
No.
So that was really good.
If you want to talk about the bad promos on Raw for the women, Carmella is probably surprisingly the best women's promo right now.
Best.
And I can't believe I'm saying that, to be honest, because I never had that high of an opinion of Carmella.
Yeah.
Like, I always thought of Carmella as the third wheel in the Cass and Enzo thing, and then
James Ellsworth shined for her whole Money in the Bank.
Yeah, thing. And well, even then, I don't even know if I want to say shined, but you know, they were both kind of like I don't really care about it. But now, fuck, man, I love Carmella and I love her promos and I love how much she's a douche.
Yeah, I want her to beat Asuka clean at Money in the Bank. I want her to just rub it in
everyone's noses.
Yeah, to put the code of silence and tap her out.
Yeah.
Dude, that'd be fucking sick. All the marks would be so mad. Oh, you ruined the streak for nothing. Burr, burr, burr. Oh, I cannot fucking wait. So yeah, main event time. Main event mafia. Speaking of main event mafia. Samoa Joe, D-Bry, Big Cass. Man, that was a damn good match.
That's another candidate for me.
Yeah, honestly. Big Cass was not a liability in the match.
No,
he was interjected very well.
Yes,
and you know, just the right spots. But after he went down, I was like, "Let's fucking do it."
Yep.
D-Bry and Samoa Joe went at it.
They did.
Oh man, I was just like, I was damn near late to work this morning watching that fucking match. You know, I was like, fuck, I don't care. I'm gonna sit down and watch this match. It was so fucking good. That Hurricanrana. Oh, on the top rope, dude? Frankensteiner?
Yeah.
Oh, man, dude. Just everything was great. The setup, the end of the match was even better. Fucking big boot, and then Big Cass misses. What did he do? I forgot how Big Cass got. Oh, Big Cass got the knee to the face.
That's right.
There was the American Kinshasa.
Right.
That he got him with, knocked him out, and then I was like, fuck yeah. Nope. Kokita clutch. It's over. Mm-hmm. Lights out.
I only saw the ref pick up his arm once.
Yeah.
I wasn't tripping on that.
No, it was really just once. Yeah.
That kind of didn't sit well with
me. I love that because I always hate the 1-2.
MMA thing, right?
No.
No?
No.
The one time isn't an MMA thing?
No, the picking up of the arm is just wrestling.
Oh, okay.
MMA, they see you like, he's not getting up. It's over.
Okay.
When he passed out, that was it. Like, more MMA would have been if he passed out and Matt Kyoto would have been like, okay, he's out.
Yeah.
Picked up an arm, boom. I'm glad he just did the one. I've seen the one arm before. That's fine.
Well, here's the reason why I would have liked for it to be a three. Because every time that you see it, one, two, oh!
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm kind of on this, like, I've said this before, where certain things happen in the ring in wrestling that just always happen.
Yeah.
That Well, what if the other wrestler caught you doing that? What the hell happens? Yeah, you know, like when they're running the ropes and you do the leapfrog, why the hell do you do a leapfrog? Because if you don't do a leapfrog, they tackle you, they spear you.
Yeah.
Why do you do the thing where you lay out? Are you trying to trip them?
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody trip. I've always seen them just jump right on over you.
Yeah.
So, like, I've never seen anybody do the 1, 2, 3. Oh, God, he's dead. And they ring the bell. So I kind of wanted that to happen.
I'm going to let you borrow some of my old Coliseum home videotapes.
Okay.
Every single Million Dollar Man match ended like that.
Did it? Every single one?
Every single one. It would just 1, 2, 3. Okay. He's out. So, yeah, that was the main event. But one thing I wanted
Aaron, to Aaron, what's up, man?
One thing I want to get to was what I really enjoyed. At first, I was like, you know, yeah. Fucking men's locker room comes out, Cien Almas.
Yes.
And
this was interesting.
Yeah, it seemed kind of like, my hermano, this and that. You could tell Cien Almas was kind of like, hey. And this and that. Almas kind of wanted to say something, but then Zelina Vega goes, hey, esta la chingada, cabrón. Like, you're nobody.
Yeah.
This is the future. And he's like, and I was like, are you serious? And she's like, no, what am I supposed to call? He said, in Spanish, he said, don't ever touch me again.
Don't ever touch me again.
I'm hoping this goes, they have a match next week.
Is it?
Wrong crime.
Is it wrong of me to, this late in the game, to kind of have hope that maybe Sin Cara will become something?
Yeah. No. That's great.
It's not too late?
No. Okay. No. There's always hope for Sin Cara. There's always hope for
Sin Cara. You just throw the mask on some other Mexican.
Dude, Sin Almas could be Sin Cara next week. Sin Almas.
Sin Cara.
These guys are interchangeable. Right? Yeah. Roseanne Barr, Martin. Yeah. So, yeah, that was it for SmackDown. We got Samoa Joe in the Money's Bank, and now I really want him to win. I don't want anybody else to win.
Oh, yeah?
I wanted Balor. I said it was better. This is my number one pick, man. That's what I want.
All right, say it again.
I'm sticking to it.
Say it again.
I want Samoa Joe to win the Money in the Bank.
There you go.
Quote me on it.
Samoa Joe. Say it. Quote. Yeah, Aaron says, where's Cholo Norma? Cholo. Nakamura, but Cholo. Like, I don't know why I can't pronounce that. He's talking about Chris because, you know, he had the Nakamura thing.
Oh, he cut his hair. Yeah, he cut his hair.
Yeah, he cut his hair. So he's no longer.
And he wasn't doing it just to be a fucking weirdo. He did it for the Locks for Kids, which made me respect Chris a whole lot more.
Yeah.
By a whole lot more, I mean respect him.
But, yeah.
Aaron, you can't go from, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But thanks for watching, Aaron. Hopefully he'll be back soon. He said he was going to be back right before Money in the Bank,
which is 2 weeks
away. 2 weeks.
Day.
Robert pointed out CM Punk going to get knocked out next weekend. That's next weekend
Saturday.
Already. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's
the faster you get over with, the faster he debuts at SummerSlam. We're all in.
Faster he gets that. Okay.
The guy that he's fighting is, I think, over one. And that 0 for 1 is that he also got choked out by Mickey Gall, who fucking choked out CM Punk.
Oh,
it was a bunch of fucking scrub versus scrub.
Yeah.
That's why
a
lot of the people are getting mad. Oh, they shouldn't be on the fucking river,
bro. They should be on the blue. But it's because of the name value. It's only because of the name value. Come on.
Fucking Brock lost his first match, and he was still main eventing the second time he wrestled.
Yeah. I mean, goddamn, dude. I mean, like, fucking Jordan went to play for the White Sox, and all of a sudden, everybody was a White Sox fan.
Yep.
Man, that was good for them because they made more money. The White Sox sucked with, after, and during Jordan. Or before, after, and during Jordan. But
yeah,
2005, they didn't suck. They swept the Astros.
Why you gotta bring? It's still too soon. It's still too soon.
It's okay. You know what? I need to put this up on the wall somewhere. There you go. Here?
Right over Macho Man.
Over Macho.
It's been 7 years this past week.
Has it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Okay, anyway. I got to put that up.
So, let's rewind.
Chris's Han Cholo.
To NXT. That's Wednesday. Not the one that's going on right now, because I can't wait to go get on and watch that one.
Right. Because we always are behind.
We're always behind.
Yeah.
It was a solid-ass NXT. I thought a really solid NXT.
Mm-hmm.
started off with TM61 versus Heavy Machinery.
Yeah.
I love that match. I love Heavy Machinery. And especially Otis, dude. Goddamn, Otis is so good.
He's a little leg shake
he's doing now when he really does his thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I love when he's just like squatting around looking like, well, I'm ready. I'm ready. Oh, I just love his mannerisms.
I want to start walking like him, dude. It's like,
I want to just like gain even more weight and grow out my hair just like a beard.
What
he's
doing is what they tried to do with Rhino last year, make him like the kind of wacky fat guy. But this dude is fucking good. A whole ass Nigel McGuinness, like, oh, I love them, but what I would do is just have them, you know, lose some weight, drop some weight. I was like, and Percy's like, that's what they do, steaks and wings.
Like, they drop weights all the time after they pick them up.
Oh, man, the match was good. I'm kind of, I don't know how I feel about TM61 being heels. Like, I don't hate it, but I don't love it.
I think that with TM61, they needed to do something.
Yeah, because they're just cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Fucking, like, flippy dippies.
They, yeah, exactly. I don't want to say that they don't have charisma, because they do.
In the ring, they have it.
Well, in the ring, but they got a little charisma. They need something. They haven't found that to make them go to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe turning heel will be that it. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. But, man, Heavy Machinery, though.
Yeah, I love them. I want more. I want more as fuck, dude. Cool little promos. One for Bianca Belair, which is next week.
We're gonna be like, yeah.
That was a badass promo. Yes. That was just like a teaser for this week.
I'm so 1,000% glad that wasn't find out next week, because I'm going to wrestle some scrub.
Yeah, no,
it was find out next week where we have an even better promo and video package. Oh, okay, cool.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Another person I said it last time, and I'm like confirmed, I'm 100% on board with EC3.
Okay.
Dude, I love it. I love his fucking promos. I love his confidence. I just love it, dude. I'm officially excited about him. I'm not officially bought in. I'm just officially like...
You're not all in.
I'm not all in. But I was like, okay, you know, let's see. You know, I'm very interested now, which is cool.
Yeah.
I like when that works out. I like wrestling. Kairi Sane versus Lacey Evans. A new Lacey Evans who we've gotten in the past and recently... She's not the whole, you know, hey guys, pinup girl, whatever, ex-marine mama, stuff like that. She's fucking dirty now.
Yeah. I do like the character change. I do like that they're building her up to something. She's really coming
aggressive
out
too.
Yeah, she's coming out in different gear, but it's all like military stuff, and she kind of has like this old pinup girl kind of.
But now her hair is messier than it used to be.
Yeah.
It's not all done up like perfectly.
So I'm digging a lot of stuff that they're doing with her. But there's one thing that I don't dig. That's her finisher. Her finisher is...
The Women's Right? First of all, that's a perfect name for it.
It is a perfect name. I give it that. That's a perfect name. I think it should be a signature and not a finisher. Because it's just a punch. And...
World's Strongest Punch? I mean, what's the Big Show?
Yeah, but man, Big Show.
Nikki Bella's forearm that she used to do that would look brutal every time?
Yeah.
So far, she's done it twice, and both times I'm like, ooh!
Yeah, but I don't think Nikki uses that as her finisher. Her finisher is the rack attack.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
She doesn't use any finisher.
Well, she doesn't use anything. But, like, aside from the Big Show, which I can understand why they make the exception for the Big Show, the only other time that we've ever had a punch as a finisher was Regal, and he still had it loaded because, remember, he had the brass knucks?
Yeah.
Okay, then what was the time before that?
Superman punch?
I guess. That's
a finisher?
Yeah. I mean... I don't know, man.
This is me, old school WWE, like 95 WWF. DOA Crush had the heart punch. That was cool.
Yeah.
Punch him in the heart.
Yeah.
That hurts.
I get it. I get it. But this isn't a heart punch. No. It's not a falling punch from the top rope. It's just a straight punch, and that's it. I mean,
that could go wrong.
Well, but here's the reason why I don't like it. Everyone else does punches as not even signatures, as like – the first move that you do after calling out a tie-up, punch.
Mm, yeah.
So, I mean, okay.
Are you saying that having this finishing move is like having a fireman's carry as a finishing move?
No. It's like having a collar and elbow tie-up as a finishing move.
Oh, that'd be brutal.
Or an Irish whip as a finishing move.
Ouch.
Like, are we back in the fucking 40s?
A clothesline, not even.
I mean, I guess that goes along with her shtick, you know, because the... yeah, go back another fucking 40 years, and yeah, maybe a punch is devastating. But I don't know.
But anyway, I thought it was a good match. It showed, I actually showed a lot of Kyrie's aggressiveness too. Oh,
okay, Robert Medlin's agreeing with you. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. She's got a good buff physique, so she can sell it.
Yeah.
All right.
She's strong.
Aaron says her signature move is the woman's left. Then the right is the finisher.
So Kyrie's saying it's really aggressive in it too. And she was about to hit that elbow and she didn't.
Texas Tornado had a punch finisher. It was a discus clothesline, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like bam.
He spun around.
Yeah. It's like Luger had the running forearm.
Well, but he had it loaded because he had the metal plate in his arm because it was broken.
Yeah. What else?
I'm sorry. What were you just talking about?
No, just did Kyrie. Just
Kyrie look good.
She's looking good. Even in that loss, she looked good too. And some more fucking Undisputed Era stuff. Yeah. Oh, their promo is so good. It just reminds me of... All I need is black and white. It just reminds me of the NWO. I love it. Just their confidence. And Kyle O'Reilly just being... He's like, who's that guy again? Like,
and their own interest music playing in the background. That's
what,
while
like, that's what I love. It reminds me of NWO.
Yeah.
Them just talking about how Danny Burch is number two. Like, it was fucking cool. Like, dude, I love them. And Kyle O'Reilly called him Peter Dune.
Which is what you called him for.
That's what I called him for like a year.
Yeah.
Pete Dune. So yeah, we're gonna have them next week.
I think
No,
tonight. It didn't happen today. It'll happen next.
No, it'll happen today. Oh, okay. Somebody's gonna find today. Somebody, yeah. But at TakeOver we're gonna have Oney Lorcan, Danny Burch versus the Undisputed Era.
All right. What do you think of the little commercial? I don't know if you saw it. It was a commercial that ran that was talking about the new UK tournament thing.
Weird.
The winner gets a shot at the UK title the next night.
When is it?
Next month, I think it said. Was it June or July?
It's June.
It's June?
Because it looks like it's around Money in the Bank time.
Okay.
Kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because I heard the rumor that, again, these are taped, so I don't know. The rumor is that at Chicago TakeOver, it's Pete Dunne versus Adam Cole.
Baby.
So, we'll see. Maybe Pete Dunne loses that belt.
Hmm.
And then he wins the North American title. Fucking, he'll be the Intercontinental Champion.
You know, if you win both, in the UK and the U.S. title, definitely. You confuse them, and then it automatically becomes Intercontinental.
It turns white.
Yeah. You just got to kind of do the little dance, and it...
Yeah. Dude, I got to talk about the match.
Okay.
Lars Ulrich. Look at me, Metallica. He came fucking, hey. Lars Sullivan versus Richard O'Shea and fucking Patrick Clark.
Man. Dude. I loved it.
That was a fun match to watch.
I loved it. Loved it.
Dude, Ricochet, he just keeps getting better and better and better, man. I'm almost scared to like him so much because everybody's going to find a way to fuck this up.
Oh, well, come on. POP, power positivity. It's good now, so yeah.
I know. I'm just scared.
I know.
But I'm glad. I was so happy. Well, first, let's talk about the actual match. The fucking the energy they had together, the chemistry they had together.
Yeah.
It was some scientific term. I didn't take chemistry in high school. They had it, dude. They were fucking blam, spot on. They were beating his ass. They were beating Lars' ass.
Mm.
But Lars was beating their ass, too. So it was an even keel. It was good.
Yeah.
I was so happy when fucking Velveteen just went blam, fucking did the Death Valley driver.
Yeah.
But like,
I don't know what they're calling it, but
that was fucking solid.
That cartwheel thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it was funny because right before that happened, well, a few moments leading up to it, I was thinking, are they actually going to roll with this and have like a odd couple team where they first hate each other?
Where are they going with this?
Because I loved when Ricochet started taunting Lars. And then went out and around. It was like, okay, I'm buying my partner time.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to lead him and distract him so that my partner can drop an elbow.
Yeah.
And it, that worked. And that was like, oh shit, that's like stuff that actual tag teams themselves do.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool. That shows like, oh, they're a team that's been together for a long time, but they haven't been together for a long time. Mm-hmm. So they just must mesh that well.
Yeah.
And we'll have like a Cesaro and Sheamus kind of storyline with them. And I was all okay with it.
Yeah.
Then, of course, at the end, when you had the stab in the back by Velveteen, I was okay with it. I wasn't disappointed with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, oh, God damn it, they got me. Yeah. Like, oh, I felt for it, hook, line, and sinker, that they are going to actually team mm-hmm. together, and they did it. But
I was pleasantly surprised. I'm happy either way. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And this was another one of those matches, and it's cool because it was three people in the match, where after this match, all three of them looked good.
Oh, yeah.
Velveteen looks good. We finally got him. He's getting his groove back because mm-hmm. he had it last year. And then after the feud with Alistair, he's kind of been floundering.
Yep.
And then Ricochet, I've been like, and then after the match, I was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he was dead after the match, but rightfully so. I mean, it was a protected loss.
Yeah.
So,
it's kind of like a Goldberg question for Lars Sullivan, who's next? Because he ran over everybody that was in that match with him besides Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Is Aleister Black still in the WWE? What the fuck?
I haven't seen him
in forever. He was supposed to be on tonight. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean he's been mentioned and referred to, like we saw him, I think, 2 weeks ago in a video package in the back.
Yeah.
So I mean he's around, he just ain't doing nothing.
Yeah. Are we bearing the lead?
Why?
I don't see it on the rundown, but I remember watching it very carefully.
Okay.
Johnny Gargano.
Oh yeah.
Where the fuck am I looking for?
Yeah, Johnny Gargano goes out there with Candace, and he goes out there kind of like very emotional, making it sound like
because I saw the last segment. I thought it was Dakota Kai versus
Shayna
Baszler setup for this week.
That was a really good promo
by both of them.
Both of them.
Yeah.
I like how Shayna kind of got a little bit confused by something that was very non-threatening, but still kind of threatening, which was...
We'll find out.
Yeah, well, I thought it was We'll See.
I think she...
Well, whatever, we'll see, we'll find out, whatever. Same thing. And she was like this bitch didn't shirk away from me for once. What the hell, you know?
Yeah. I loved it. Nicole Kai, you can barely hear her talk because mm-hmm. she's so fucking frightened. But yeah, dude, the Candice LeRae thing. Oh, I love that whole segment, man.
Yeah.
Oh, it was nothing. There was nothing about it that I was like, "Fuck!" Because as they were coming out, I'm like, "Come on, we're not stupid. This is Mark Henry in the pink salmon suit, written all over it."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when he took it off, Candace sold it so fucked. She's like,
"That's the difference."
Like she was like, "What? Like this is what we agreed to look at all?
We talked about this at home,
dude. It makes you love Candace so much more.
Yeah,
she has that really likable personality. Mm-hmm. That even, like when she's in distress and or like mad or hurt." You're like, oh, I want to protect her. She has that vibe to her. And,
Michael said something random. If Total Divas was on Showtime, I'd watch it. What's the difference if it's on Showtime or on E? Titties. Same damn thing.
Oh, more titties.
More titties? They'll show you more titties on Showtime? Oh, okay.
You didn't grow up with cable, right?
Uh-uh.
Showtime after 10 is...
Well, but they're not going to put fucking Total Divas on after 10 and show Total Diva titties.
But you could show more. You get away with more stuff there. That's why Game of Thrones gets away with more shit than The Walking Dead. By the way, RIP Rick. They get in a little fucking scuffle. Tommaso's like, well, fuck you, buddy. And they go at it. And fucking Gargano gets pushed off.
Mm-hmm.
Bam! Right into fucking Candace.
Yeah.
And she knocks her the fuck out. Yeah. That looked bad, too. But we've seen her take cheese graters to the face on fucking CZW and shit like that. Right. Where the fuck she used to wrestle.
that lung blower that she took by Cedric Alexander at some indie promotion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was PWG, but it was something like that. I think it
was PWG.
Was it?
I think so.
And she fucking bounced 5 feet in the air after it all. Fuck. Yeah. But
we'll get to that.
Yeah.
What's going on in the chat?
Yeah, I'm trying to catch up here. Robert says that I think
we definitely need a third person.
Yeah. Robert says I think he was on the WWE European tour. I think he's talking about Aleister Black.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
that's so fine.
He was in Europe. I can't wait to see Dakota Kai beat Baszler so we can get Dakota versus Bianca Belair.
Ooh, not going to happen.
Yeah, I know, but man, I love Bianca Belair, man. Yeah.
And I love Dakota Kai.
Yeah.
So it works out for everybody.
Yeah.
Shoo, Baszler.
Shoo. Get out of here. Shoo, shoo.
Get out of
here. Go play with your friend Ronda.
Yeah, go feud with Ronda. Lose the belt.
Feud with Ronda.
Yeah, lose the belt and then cost her the match with Nia and then have SummerSlam fucking Baszler versus Ronda. Boom.
Yeah. Or you could have like a brawl for all with Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler and see who actually, and then, you know, put it in fucking Octagon. And then give a big fuck you to Dana White.
Have a Brawl for All tournament, put in Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, and have somehow fucking Kairi Sane knock them both the fuck out. A la Bart Gunn.
Yeah, like, hey, wait a second. You weren't supposed to win. It was real.
I gotta wonder, like now, like 20 some odd years later, was that punishment for winning?
What?
Having a beat getting you eat your asshole by Butterbean? Because remember, Bart Gunn wasn't supposed to win. It was supposed to be for Dr. Death.
Yeah.
Steve Williams.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got knocked the fuck out.
Yeah.
So.
But whoever made it that far, with you were going to face Butterbean.
No, you weren't. They never said anything about that.
Really?
They never said that.
I thought that was just a Brock for All
champion. That's it. Nah. Mm-hmm. That was set up like a couple weeks before WrestleMania 15.
Okay.
Someone could fact check me, but I'm pretty sure I'm right because I'm always right. Dude, NXT was solid and I can't wait to get home. I'll probably watch it tomorrow or the next day. I like watching it now, like not the day of these shows.
Yeah.
Cause I can get on the internet because Twitter spoils everything.
Right. Fucking play it.
We're gonna see where the fuck this goes with Gargano and Ciampa because it's still going.
Okay.
Aleister Black will be on TV today, which was already happened.
An hour ago, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. EC3 is going to wrestle, I believe, too. And I think that's it.
Okay. So 205?
Yes, please.
All right.
So I never watched 205 Live anymore. Right. I haven't seen it in a long time.
And I missed last week's episode.
And, yeah, you missed last week's episode. We didn't talk about it. But I just saw on Raw, they hyped up, fucking Charlie Murphy versus the Entertainer. I was like, you know what,
Charlie Murphy?
Let me go watch this match. Blake Murphy, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, Blake is
Wesley Blake. Buddy Murphy.
Buddy Murphy and Cedric Alexander.
Which one's Wilder? Which one's Dash? Alexa's boyfriend,
ex boyfriend. Now I think. I don't know.
But anyway. I saw a thing for that match, Cedric Alexander versus, say his name.
Cedric Alexander versus Buddy Murphy.
Buddy Murphy. And I was like, all right, tight. You know what? I'll watch it. And I got done with everything else, and I was like, fuck it. I went home for my lunch break, and I put it on. I slept it on. I'm fucking, ate some leftovers, and I was watching it. I was like, you know what? I'll pay full attention to this, because usually 205, I'm flipping with my phone, or I'm doing something. And I was like, let me watch this match. And I'm glad I did because that was my match of the week pick.
Sir?
Instant.
That's instant. My pick as well.
Instant, dude. Oh, my. I knew it by halfway through it. I was like, ooh, this match is getting so good. And the bar kept raising higher and higher and higher. And we got ROH-style fucking false finishes.
Yes.
We got everything. I wanted to say all this on Facebook. Like, if you hate the WWE, quote-unquote, think it's cool, hate the WWE, and you love ROH and the Indies, watch this fucking match, because this is for you.
Yeah.
This is for you.
Exactly.
This is for all my fucking friends. I know exactly who they are. My friend Jessica, Jaime Martinez. It's for all these fuckers that are like Indie for life. Now, watch this match. Put it on the WWE Network. Mm-hmm. After SmackDown already. So you're that fucking North Carolina. Got to see Samoa Joe versus Daniel Bryan. And got to see fucking this match.
Yeah.
Dude, the highlights are just back-to-back, dude. So many fucking moves that they were doing. So many fucking situations they were in. By the time they went outside, the match was barely starting whenever they jumped on the fucking table. That's when it got even more interesting. Mm-hmm. I was already at a fucking six right there and fucking wrecked. I was like, what's going on here? And then, boom, it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And, dude, almost like a couple of times where I was like, I was saying to myself, I'm okay with there being a new champion. That's fine. This guy, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But then hometown, finally somebody wins in their hometown. And bam, yeah. that fucking lumbar check was brutal too.
Yeah, you kind of said most of everything I was going to say. But I want to kind of expound a little bit on this this one aspect here. I thought for sure, since it wasn't a pay-per-view and it wasn't a big market, but that market is Cedric Alexander's hometown,
yeah.
that, well, they aren't going to – like, I thought that they weren't going to change the title, and I thought it wasn't going to be that good of a match. But then, like, after Ced got in there and they really played up his hometown, and then – he really started being cocky at the beginning of the match. Like at the beginning when they did their back and forth, and then he stood right next to the other one, kind of looked at him sideways like this, and then did the little taunt with the fucking yeah. thumbs. I was yeah. like, oh, shit, I know what the story of this match is going to be. It's that he's in front of his hometown. Uh-huh. He got too cocky, and he's going to lose the title. And, man, I don't know. I bought that they were going to change the title on this
yeah.
one. And but then on the other flip side of it, I was like, oh, that's not a pay-per-view. So maybe they're not. So yeah. like I was kind of going back and forth as to who the hell is actually going to win this match
yeah.
to the point where I was like, fuck it. I don't care who wins. Yeah. The match is good enough.
Yeah.
And another thing, story, because you talk about moves and stuff. One of the stories that I loved in the match is Ced's back.
Yeah.
But Cedric tried to pick him up to do whatever he was mm-hmm. going to do, and he dropped them. I was like, oh, this is good. Mm-hmm. This is good because, you know, there's a lot of times that people criticize wrestling because, oh, these flippy-dippy spot monkeys aren't telling a story in the yeah. ring. Even though yeah. these guys are doing flippy-dippy crazy-ass shit, they were telling a story in the ring. And I fucking loved it, man. I fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker, dude. And I'm glad Ced won.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is going to mean for Buddy Murphy. He had a really good showing, but this was his shot, and he yeah. didn't get it. So is he going to continue to be pissed off?
Well, so you know, what I like was if you watched the promo, he was like, I'm busting my ass for everybody. Exactly. As I'm doing this, Gannon's a water meeting. He doesn't have to do this to be in the cruiserweights. He can go upstairs. He can go to the fucking SmackDown or back to NXT to be a single star.
But I love Ced's counterpoint to that, where he was like, I had to cut weight too.
Oh, yeah. He Remember? Was like 230 something pounds. Yeah,
he goes, I had to cut 20-something pounds.
Yeah.
And if he's doing what he's doing, he's drinking water so he could cut, like, weight right now, that's going to affect his endurance. So I have the edge. And I was like, holy shit. He's, yeah. like, doing X's and O's yeah. and, like, giving away. Dude, oh,
this
fuck.
Match was you know? Great, dude. The psychology of the match, the physicality of the match, it's everything, the moves. Dude, I wish Chris was here and he saw it because I would – I was like, I would want to nominate sometimes you nominate someone knowing he's not going to win, but still giving it an honorary mention as match of the year so far. Because this match had me fucking like giddy.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, yeah, I enjoyed the fuck out of this match.
Yes. I was kind of wondering how this would go with that. I knew that this was the best match I've seen this week,
mm-hmm.
and this is probably one of the better matches I've seen all month. So
it's definitely since TakeOver.
Yeah. So
since Mania, I mean.
Yeah, I know that I wanted to say this is my match of the week pick, but if it's me and you here and we gotta put our fucking fists in the middle, and give it a thumbs up or thumbs down for match of the year,
yeah.
I don't know which way I'm going on that.
Yeah.
Because it was really, really, really good, and we're singing very high praise of it.
We should post it on our Facebook and we'll answer the question next week. Say, hey, what do you guys think it was? If for those of you who saw it, that's privacy with that.
Those of you that's saw the it, thing, yeah. You know, I was like, shit, man. Like,
I know. I wish it was on a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
This is the one time where I'm actually on backwards. I'm always like, yeah, I hate when people say, oh, you're giving a good match away for free. Well, not necessarily for free, it's $10 a month, but yeah, this is a match I wish
that means every 205 Live is a pay-per-view.
yeah, you're right. You're fuck. How many pay-per-view matches have you had? About like 50?
Yeah, I'm a veteran on pay-per-view. Mr. WWE Network.
Fucking What's his name? The Lucha Party have more fucking pay-per-view matches than Samoa Joe.
God damn it. Definitely more than Brock Lesnar.
By a long time.
Oh, I hear talking shit about Brock Lesnar. I got my simplicity.
Dude.
All right. So anybody in the live chat, if you're listening, still paying attention, or you give a shit about 205 Live,
let us know.
Is this match of the year worthy? Yeah. I'm on the fence. I don't know.
I'm saying yes because I'm full board on it, but I can be convinced no.
Okay.
That's it for that. While we're on the topic of cruiserweights, though,
yeah,
little Memorial Day delight.
Okay,
we started off this week with Pusha T versus Drake. So we started off with a little hip hop,
hippity hoppity,
hippity hoppity. You know, the kids with the hippin' and the hoppin' and the bippin' and the boppin'.
God damn it!
Don't
do that.
We got a brand new exclusive hip hop track.
Oh,
from the real one.
The real one.
Enzo Amore.
Yeah.
And everyone's been talking shit, but I fucking loved it, dude.
Okay.
One, it starts off kind of weird and he doesn't have a good rhythm, but throughout the song, he gets better and better.
Really?
And the shit that he spits is fire. The shit that he fucking, like, the lines that he gives you, it's like his best promos that we, because he loves. Take whatever you want from Enzo Amore.
Yeah.
He was shit in the ring, seemed like a fucking asshole in real life.
Mm-hmm.
But on the microphone, when he was on, there was nobody better than him last year.
Yeah. Trash Talker Skywalker. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was all of that in a song.
Okay.
About a girl that tried to fucking ruin his life. And he came out on top and he was like, fuck you. But in the middle of the song, he's like, I'm not mad at you. I respect you. You were trying to get your 15 minutes of fame. I get you. And he's like, and to everyone who's been a victim of it and whatever, you know, I'm with you. I stand with you. But for everyone who's been accused like me, now I know you know how you feel. He said all of this. This song I thought was fucking great and genius as far as lyrical content. I'm a huge rap fan. So, like, I loved it as far as that aspect goes. It's not going to be a chart topper. Everyone's going to, you know, it's not even going to make any noise, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I definitely enjoyed it. I'd listen to it maybe once or twice again.
Okay.
And that's it. It's a novelty act. I wouldn't go watch him live.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I heard the very beginning of it, and I was like, whatever, whack. Yeah, and I turned it off.
Oh, I figured you would have got pissed off at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because it was a fat Mark sitting in his computer getting ready to fucking content for his podcast. And so, oh, God.
Yeah,
damn.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I watched it. I was like, you motherfucker. You gotta take it, man. You gotta take the L's, man. Yeah, that's what part of life is. Somebody made fun of us. A guy who we shit talked for months.
Yeah,
got his.
Yeah,
as far as like, all right, we're the ones that look stupid.
Yeah, well, I mean,
take it with pride.
I'm not like, I'm not a hater when it comes to rap. Mm-hmm. But I don't like actively listen to it. I don't actively listen to anything, really. I don't buy music or even, you know, illegally pirate music. It's like, if something happens to me.
You're listening to music.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even, it happens to be on the radio and I hear it, I heard it, okay?
Yeah.
You know, but.
You still think Macklemore's cool.
Yeah, Macklemore's all right. But I just, that's my disclaimer to all this. I don't really know music.
Yeah.
So when I heard it, I was like, okay, fine. And I didn't really hear all of it because I was like, eh. And I kind of already got what the gist of the song is, you know? So I didn't really have to listen to the whole thing because you pretty much confirmed everything I just said that I already knew and that other people have said.
Yeah.
And man, I'm very hesitant to get on this bandwagon of people liking Enzo now because he was cleared. I'm very hesitant of it because
you've seen it. I've seen every episode of Law and Order SVU. Sometimes the dudes get away with it.
Exactly.
But at the same time, it's dude, he got a fair shot, no evidence, and bam, I mean, you gotta go and say, fuck it, man. I mean, who are we to judge you if we don't know? That's like, again, I've been accused of similar things.
Yeah.
And I know I'm looking right at you. I know I didn't do it.
Yeah.
But there's still similar, there's still people around who think, fucking Arnold, man. Away with some shit. No, I didn't. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But no, once people have that perception, now multiply that times fucking millions because
exactly.
Everyone. So I totally understand where he's coming from, but I also have been on the other end of certain things where I know, like, this motherfucker's walking around while I got fucked over. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I get there's both sides of it. So that's why I'm not like 100% on either one. I just know he made a pretty good song. And his story of his side of the story, if it's true, tight.
Yeah.
Tight.
And that's where I like, there's so much uncertainty there that I don't really know if I want to try to take the risk to support either way. Well, you I don't care enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't want to risk enough. Like, I'm not going to get on this podcast and say, man, Enzo's a great guy. I knew that bitch shouldn't have done that. And then next month, the case reopens because they found new DNA evidence and he did fucking do all the shit he did.
Well, I mean, that's
I don't want to go the other way either by saying, oh, yeah, whatever, you know, it's the other way around. And then some fucking evidence, because I don't want to fucking hang my hat on that and let that be the sword I fucking fall on.
You don't care enough to, one, two, you know, it's just, you get it. But for me, it's, I'm actively saying I like the song.
Right.
If his side is true, cool. If it's not, that sucks. But I'm not gonna fucking like either way I look at it, I'm fine. Because like if it comes up and he did it, I'm like, well yeah, fucking I said he might have still done it. You know what I mean? So like I'm not fucking singing his praises either. I'm just saying like tight. I mean, he's another guy trying to make a living.
Yeah. All right. So that's that. I mean, what a fucking touchy subject.
Yeah.
All right. We had DCW this past weekend.
Yep.
We are getting ready for our lockdown lottery match, which that's going to be not this weekend, but the following weekend. Again, at the Katie's Elk Lodge, which will be the 10th, again on a Sunday. Again on Sunday. Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock.
The day after CM Punk gets choked out.
Day after seeing Pumpkin Show. No, not this weekend, the following weekend.
Yeah.
Is that? That's already I thought Robert Midland said this weekend's when CM Punk dies.
No, it's next. It's June 9th, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. I'm no longer in the live chat because for some reason my YouTube just crapped out on me and I'm not on data. I'm not on Wi-Fi. I'm on data. So I don't know what the hell happened. Oh. But we're okay over here. It's just I have like nothing here.
Gotcha.
But anyway.
Mine's just when I was working.
So, lockdown lottery match. This is going to be a 6-man match. Two guys, and it's for a DCW heavyweight title. Two guys are going to start, and then each one of the other four competitors are going to be handcuffed to the outside of the ring. Mm. And once one competitor is eliminated, the next one is chosen at random to go on in, and if they have the right key.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's going to be an interesting, innovative concept match. So I'm very excited to see it. If you guys can please come out, we very much appreciate that because this is a kind of a big thing that we've really been building to. There's been a lot of a lot of story going into this because, man, with David Dupron's reign here, turning his back on pretty much the entire locker room, using that to leverage himself to win the DCW title and just be a complete jerk along the way, he's basically pissed off everybody. Mm-hmm. So he got five other guys in that match that are gunning for him. And are we gonna have, you know, everybody just teaming up on Dave, or are there gonna be people, hey, every man for himself, I gotta try to win this title? And man, I don't know what's gonna happen. We've already seen a lot of stuff at the end of this past week, or you know, at the end of the show this past week, where chaos completely ensued between everybody and it just fucking broke down. So there's a lot of uncertainty coming into and out of this week's DCW. So please, this is going to be a good one.
Yeah. It's very easy to find this place, by the way. I found it by accident on Sunday. I was in Katy over the weekend. I stayed at my in-law's house Saturday night, Sunday, and Monday. I came back Monday night. And we went to Walmart. On the way back, and my mother-in-law was like, hey, look, live wrestling. I was like, oh, hey, my coworker, co-host, he's there. He's going to be there tonight because this is Sunday morning when y'all are doing the wrestle thing, the Comic-Palooza.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, he's going to be there today. Oh, that's fucking cool. Like, yeah. And I texted Abel, like, hey, yeah, it's right here. You should come. Like, no, I'm going to be at a baby shower that I'm going to because I got screwed over. Yeah. It's really easy to find. You just basically just get off
I-10, make a right, and bam,
you're like right there. It's super easy to find.
Yeah, exactly. So if you've never come out to a DCW show before, this is the one to come to. I'm serious about this. I try to not like wait, you know, use too much of the time here on HWR to kind of, you know, talk about it and put it over, because I know the majority of people, you know, watch the WWE and this and that, and some people aren't even in the Houston area that watch this show. But seriously, guys, this show is the one to be at, so already make your plans. I know ROW is on the 9th, which is the day before that. I'm not sure the details on that. Porsche can give you more details, but she's out there sitting on the couch. But yeah, mark that in your calendars as well. Anything else going on, or are we done with the show?
We are done with the show. That's everything in wrestling so far.
All right.
Well, Next week, it will be a Raw review, because 2/3 of Houston Wrestling Radio will be at Monday Night Raw.
Ooh.
Myself will be there. And Christopher said he posted.
Chris bought tickets.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be on here to talk about his experience.
Well, no, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're right, because he's still not back.
Yeah, he's not back until Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whatever. I'll be letting y'all know how my experience was.
Well, that's great, because I'll watch it on the telly and you'll watch it live, and we could talk about the different talk about the differences like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. That being said, adios, my friends. Keep it classy.